Todd Furman is a very, very busy man, analyst for DonBest.com. He writes for OutKickTheCoverage.com, and he has his own website, ToddsTake.com. It is great to have Todd Furman back on Sports 56 Middays. Hello, Todd.
What's going on, gentlemen? Plenty of excitement during this college football offseason, it would appear.
Man, oh man, it does. We can't have a day where it's quiet. Everything's happening, and obviously, you know, the first question you probably get asked about is A&M. Are they off the board at most places in Vegas? And what's the win total drop to if, for some reason, they find the evidence and they decide they want to suspend Manziel? What are the numbers, Todd?
Numbers moving a ton, and you talk about Texas A&M and all those game of the year numbers that were up on betting boards throughout Las Vegas and the offshore world have since been pulled. No sense in creating some extra liability while it's nothing but speculation as to who will be under center when Texas A&M takes on Rice. Obviously, that's not the biggest game. We're referring to more that September 14th clash against Alabama. The win total for the Aggies was 9.5. That's also come off the board now amid the speculation. One interesting thing, though, guys, it just happened this morning. One of the more prominent offshore books actually had yes-no props, and if Johnny would play one game all season for Texas A&M or start that game against Rice. They've since pulled those two props off their board. Makes you wonder if there's some news breaking that they've been able to get their hands on,
wow,
or they've just taken too much money on one particular side.
Along that, and I know Vegas, they don't have the Heisman odds, but the offshore stuff does. How has this affected Heisman odds?
Johnny Manziel was the favorite at 5-1, which I think the price was a little bit low, but you knew you were going to get the betting public rallying around a potential two-time Heisman Trophy winner. That number has since dropped to 15-1 at most books, and if you want to go against Johnny and bet the entire field, you can put up the short price of 1-30, meaning you'd have to put up $30 just to make one coming back.
Obviously, it not only affects Texas A&M if he's in there, if he's not in there, if he misses some games or all the games, but it also affects everybody on their schedule. So as far as the SEC is concerned, is there a team, Todd, that you look at with a win total that's real close that maybe you would go over that now you would go over or go under that you would now go over because you're guessing that he's going to be out and that team would win the game without Manziel in there?
Funny you guys bring that up, because there is a team in the SEC West not named Alabama that I've had my eye on throughout the course of the offseason, and they've been in the news recently themselves with a reinstatement of starting running back Jeremy Hill. But it's the LSU Tigers. I think this is a team right now that a lot of people had billed as third best within the division and really believe that they'll be the beneficiary. You talk about not quite a coin flip game on November 23rd, but that can do a lot for a team whose win total is anywhere from 8 to 8.5. An interesting nugget I was able to find on LSU, the only two times that they haven't been ranked in the AP Top 11 going into the season, they just happened to go 13-1 and 11-2, winning a national title. So history is any precedent. This team will be right there in the thick of things, and they obviously have that November 9th game circled against Alabama when they go into Tuscaloosa.
Todd Furman joining us. You can follow him on Twitter, at Todd Furman. That's F-U-H-R-M-A-N. And we are happy to say that Todd's going to join us throughout the football season as well on a weekly basis. Very excited to have him.
Absolutely.
Providing the Vegas perspective on things throughout the season. But Todd, as far as win totals go, either in the SEC or maybe even expanding outside of that, what are some of them that you look at that are pretty interesting that you think one way or another might be some values?
Well, there's one team, and I know I won't endear myself to people in the Memphis region because there are quite a bit of Ole Miss alums that'll trickle down the highway. I think Ole Miss right now, the expectations for this team are probably a year too advanced. You talk about Bo Wallace and the shoulder surgery that he had in the offseason. You have to worry about how he'll perform under center. I think you look at this schedule that the Rebels are faced with, four of their first five games all on the highway. Now, if they can navigate through that stretch and be all right, you talk about a team who doesn't have to leave the state after October 5th, which is absolutely incredible in this day and age in college football. I just think that they're going to have a target on their back, and while I love Hugh Freeze and what he's done with the program, I think saying that you need to win 9 games to cash a win total on the Rebels is a bit ambitious.
Todd, what is the odds for Georgia to repeat in the East, and what are the odds for South Carolina to win the East?
Those numbers are still actually up on the board just for the division. Obviously, the SEC stuff has completely come off the board to win the overall conference, but Georgia is the slight favorite over South Carolina. You're looking at them right now, widely available at 3-2, South Carolina at 8-5. Clearly, the game that the two of them will play against each other the second week of the season will go a long way in dictating who ends up representing the East in the conference championship. Amazing to think it was just a few years ago that you'd highlight that third Saturday in September for Tennessee-Florida to determine the East. now it's quickly becoming Georgia and South Carolina's battle to win.
Right.
Well, and when you look at Georgia's win total, and I don't know what it currently stands at. I have one that was at 9.5 at one point. You know, they get South Carolina at home. They get LSU at home. They avoid Alabama. I mean, I look at Georgia as a great chance to go undefeated. I know they do have the game at Clemson. What do you think of Georgia as far as their win total?
I like Georgia quite a bit this year, and I think not only will they have a chance to exceed the expectations as far as a regular season win total is concerned, but to be a dark horse national title contender. They were listed at 4-1 to win the SEC before those numbers were pulled. But you look at the schedule, you talk about the first two games of the season at Clemson, home against South Carolina. That's going to go a long way. If they go 2-0 during that stretch, the schedule sets up favorably. One of the more fortunate teams within the conference and the country as far as elite contenders are concerned, considering they don't have to play back-to-back road games at any part of the season. And you look at their road games in conference, at Tennessee, at Vanderbilt, at Auburn, not the murderer's row. And, of course, you have that neutral game every year against Florida and Jacksonville.
You mentioned Ole Miss a moment ago. 3 weeks from tonight, they get it started at Vanderbilt. It has been a Vanderbilt domination recently over Ole Miss. Ole Miss maybe has the most talent, the most depth. Of course, Vanderbilt has James Franklin. What's the number been doing for that particular game so far with 3 weeks to go, Todd?
That number has had some major movement. Vanderbilt actually opened as a 3.5-4 point favorite at some offshore books. That number has since moved completely the other way. Ole Miss now entrenches a 3-point road favorite there.
Wow.
You talk about an electric atmosphere, and while it feels like an oxymoron to say an electric atmosphere in Nashville for a Vanderbilt football game, that's exactly what you're going to have on Thursday, August 29th. I just think that Ole Miss, with all these expectations heaped on their shoulders, that's a ton of pressure. Now, we know Vanderbilt has a bevy of question marks themselves, but coming off their 9-4 season a year ago, it's a little unusual to see the Commodores with a win total posted at 7.5. I don't remember at any year in my industry such high expectations for Vandy.
Florida got some very bad news with Andre DeBose and the torn ACL. They don't have a whole lot of playmakers. He was one they were counting on. Has that affected Florida's total for the year?
It hasn't affected their total. Skill position guys outside of the quarterback won't really do a whole lot as far as the betting public's concerned. But Florida is definitely one of the teams I think that you're going to have some value looking to go under their total. Now, you look at their turnovers. They were minus 12 in 2011. They had a 27 turnover turnaround a year ago at plus 15. I don't think they were nearly as good as their 11-2 record indicated. They obviously lived and died with the defense forcing turnovers. If those don't go their way this year with the schedule they're faced with, the Gators could be hard-pressed to match some of their opponents. I think the game to watch, though, for them, second week, September 7th, when they go up to Miami, Florida, about a 4.5-to-5-point favorite. I think the Hurricanes' offense will be a stiff, stiff test for this Florida defense.
Talking with Todd Furman. Again, you can find him at donbest.com, outkickthecoverage.com, plus has his own website, toddstake.com. Todd, I know we have degenerates in our listening audience who just cannot get enough, and so preseason football, they'll be trying to place bets on it. I don't understand it. How can somebody, is it possible to make smart bets in the preseason?
No.
Anytime there is a number on the board, whether it's NFL exhibition, WNBA, arena football, cricket, dart, snooker, there's going to be somebody out there trying to gain an edge. And the thing is, with the NFL preseason, you can use coaches' motivation, read press clippings, try and figure out player rotations, and give yourself a discernible edge over the books. The reality of it is a lot of the edge, though, and advantage that some of the sharper bettors had in years past, that information is much more readily available in the modern day and age of social media, so those numbers move quicker. But there will be sharp money out there. Already we're seeing some line moves start to fly up. The biggest move so far this morning has actually been on Cleveland, who was a 4.5-point favorite tonight against the Rams. That number has now come down to 3.
Degenerates.
How many people are what, you know, compared to a regular season, like what that actually bet preseason?
It's definitely a fraction. That's for sure. The one interesting part, though, and you look at the Hall of Fame game, and you don't want to try and take too much away from that, but considering the TV ratings for that were about a 7. Every book I spoke to said they had more betting volume on that preseason game than they've had on just about every baseball game all summer long. The bottom line is, if you're in the sports betting business, football is king, and everybody else is just clamoring to play second fiddle.
Preseason Super Bowl championship odds, is there one team that you think would be a good value?
You know, it's funny. The team that I had eyeballed all offseason, and I actually have a future bet on myself, is the Cincinnati Bengals. Then I had an industry colleague remind me that no team featured on Hard Knocks has ever made it to the postseason. It makes me want to try and dump some of my action at that point. But no, the two teams that I have, and as far as value is concerned, it's real tough to bet a lot of the front runners. I mean, with Denver at 6-1, it doesn't make sense to tie up your money for 6 months. Cincinnati at 31-1 actually has a share of my wallet. And then my real long shot that's come down, I actually grabbed a piece of the Carolina Panthers at 80-1. That number's down to about 45-1 right now.
Wow. Hard Knocks, the new SI cover jinx. Todd, one final thing before we let you go, and it has nothing to do with football at all, pro or college, but golf. We got the PGA Championship. Tiger Woods, 0-3 in majors this year. And I would imagine the prohibitive favorite once again. Does that mean Vegas is doing pretty well in these majors if Tiger's not winning?
Anytime Tiger doesn't win a tournament, the house is always going to do real well. The thing about it is you want to keep him in contention so they can take more and more futures money after round one, after round two, and then again after round three, hoping that he, I don't want to call it implodes, but doesn't compete on Sunday. But you look at the numbers, and considering that Tiger went off at about a 9-2 favorite, the next closest golfer to him would have been Phil Mickelson at 15-1, and there were only three golfers available on the betting boards at less than 20-1. What that does is it just creates value for everybody else if you don't think Tiger is actually going to win the tournament.
Check out the website, toddstalk.com.
Todd's take.
Todd's take. I can't even read my own writing.
I'll talk plenty throughout the fall, guys.
And you do it very, very well. Also, analyst for donbest.com. Check out that website, outkickthecoverage.com. And again, we will have Todd on regularly during the football season. We really appreciate it, Todd. Thank you so much for your time.
Definitely looking forward to it, guys.
We appreciate it. Todd Furman.